Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. It is Monday. This is the Malloy Show. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, my goodness. Have a good weekend. Have you heard that expression, how many times supporting the troops? It usually trips out of the mouths of Republicans in Congress, absolute cowards, every one of them, very few Republicans. How many are there? Almost 300 of them in the House and the Senate have ever served in the military. Most of them are like Dick Cheney. They run and hide over and over and over and over and over again when they have a chance to do what they expect other Americans to do, and that is to put on the uniform and go put themselves in a place where they can either be killed or kill. Republicans don't do that. Republicans try to shame everybody else into doing it while they hide. Republicans are cowards. Well, the reason I mentioned that on December 10th, last week, 3 days after Pearl Harbor Day, on December 10th, the House of Representatives approved the conference report that contains the budget for the Department of Veterans Affairs. They approved it. The budget for veterans is already 73 days past due, but it got passed last Thursday. The bill passed by a vote of 221 in favor of funding the Veterans Affairs to 202 against funding Veterans Affairs. 28 Democrats voted no. They didn't want to fund Veterans Affairs. The entire Republican conference voted against appropriations for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Every single Republican in the House voted no. No funding for the Veterans Administration, Veterans Affairs, no funding for anything. The hospitals, the trauma units. It's hard for me to go on. Hard for me to follow up on this because that's where I wonder how much longer you Republicans who are listening to the program right now, you rank and file Republicans, how much longer are you going to do this? How much longer are you going to pretend that these sons of bitches in Congress, these Republicans, the people you elected, have any desire to assist veterans, any respect for veterans? Every single elected Republican is a freaking coward, is a goddamn liar and a hypocrite. Do you hear what I'm saying? On December 10th, 3 days after Pearl Harbor Day, when all these Republicans do something in their home district or send some shill back to the, oh, yeah, well, I support the veterans. You know, I really do. It was the veterans that stopped the Japs of Pearl Harbor and the Germans over here and the Russians over. And these son of a bitches, every single Republican in the House voted no to fund Veterans Affairs. So the next time one of you Republican scum feel like calling my program, don't. Break your finger, the one that hits the little buttons on your cell phone. Don't call. Because I hate you. Okay? Let me not be subtle. I hate you for sending these swine to office who say that they support the troops. So if you're a Republican rank and file, you're a coward too, of course, but if you are, and you want to call this program ever again, please have someone immediately lay your finger on the table and hit it with a hammer. I don't want to hear from you, ever. I've been asked to announce this. This is for December 16th, that's day after tomorrow, Wednesday night in New York City. If you're listening in New York, at the Canal Room, Broadway and Canal Street, there is a benefit sponsored by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. That's the UNHCR. They're having a Share the Warmth benefit concert in an effort for this UN agency to provide winter relief to Afghan refugees. Now, Patterson Hood of the Drive-By Truckers, one of the great modern songwriter, will be playing. And the person that sent me this, Bob, says that if it's cold here in the American version of Afghanistan, I can only imagine how miserable it must be for all the folks we've displaced and made homeless over there. So, if you're in the New York City area, you can go to, you can get information on this by going to GothamJazz.com. I think they have information, but it is Wednesday. I believe it's in the afternoon, late afternoon, early evening. The Canal Room, Broadway and Canal Street. Share the Warmth benefit concert for the UN High Commission for Refugees. It's an effort to provide some winter relief to Afghan refugees. So you might think about it. It's too goddamn bad we're not on a radio station in New York, Kathy. The biggest so-called liberal. That was the market in which I won the AIR award. Oh, you know, I don't talk about myself, but I will mention this, you know. I was in competition against Limbaugh, Hannity, some piece of human waste called Malzberg, Randy Rhodes, Al Franken, and me, all vying for the best talk show in New York back in Air America days. I won. And there's not a radio station in New York that'll carry this program. Son of a bitch. Oh, well, if you're listening online or Sirius or XM Wednesday night at the Canal Room, you might want to give it some thought. I got one of those pieces of... Oh, by the way, did you see the... I'm sure you have. You've seen it now. We've all seen it. And, yeah, we've got some Lieberman. Oh, this piece of... this piece of crap, this Joe Lieberman. Yeah, we've got a bunch of things to say about him, and some of it will be in his own words. We have some audio from, or was it Face the Nation on the weekend? I'm stunned that this craphead Joe Lieberman holds the power. He does. He really does. This piece of dreck holds the power of healthcare insurance reform in his bony, grasping little freaking hands. This little former Democrat that has his ass handed to him by the Democrats in Connecticut, then turned around, ran as an independent, and all the Republicans voted for him and abandoned their own candidate for their own party. And now, and the Democratic caucus, Harry Reid, and the rest of these freaks give him power? And now he, we'll let you hear it in his own words. I have a feeling this is one of those nights. I've just got too many things to talk about that make me furious. So, wait a minute. I didn't do the disclaimer. Here we go. The following program is rated PG-13. Parental Biden, parental guidance is strongly recommended because this crazy bastard will cuss. Yeah, he will. It's going to be one of those nights. Berlusconi, you've seen it, the video, neo-Nazi prime minister of Italy, the real right-wing bastard, and he was slashed across the face. Somebody hit him with a statue, I think, during some kind of event. You saw the video. I saw the video. It just ripped his goddamn face open. He was hit, oddly enough, with a statue. But when they grabbed the guy, you know what he had in his pocket? Tear gas canister and a crucifix. I love it. How can you make this stuff up? And he said he hated Berlusconi. Well, right away, the Italian media, most of which is owned by Berlusconi, starts talking about this guy has a history of mental illness. Really? I'll bet you couldn't label him a terrorist because he doesn't have a Muslim name, right? So what's next down the... Oh, that's right. Mental illness. Maybe he just looks at Berlusconi the same way we used to look at Bush. And this guy had the courage, which is what it is, to smack the son of a bitch right across the mouth. Huh? Do I advocate violence? No, not me. Crucifix. He had crucifix in his pocket. I love it.
If you're tired of the fighting, come on. No more wars, no more lying, come on. All my people in the world, come on. Every boy, every girl, come on. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on. Come on, let's go.
Some men,
yes, we'll put it together and we'll get it all.
Hey, the sale from Saturn is here. The best deals ever on a Saturn with $4,000 total cash back on every new vehicle. Or qualified buyers can choose 0% financing on all models. Length of contract is limited. Take delivery by January 4th. Hurry to your Saturn retailer tomorrow. Can't touch this. 21 past the hour. I've got to share this email with you. I'm not sure who this guy is talking about, but it's addressed to me. Dear Mike, I've been your fan since the first time I heard you on the radio. However, I'm very turned off by all the President Obama bashing and have been turning your show off. Ralph, spelled R-A-L-F, Ralph Nader of all people, a guy who took big money from Bush's people in the 2000 election, who helped put your buddy Bush into office. See, right away, you know this guy's a freak, is the last person to have any voice to bash President Obama. Now, if you don't know about Organizing for America, you shouldn't talk about it because you lose credibility and become just another crazy ranting criticizer of President Obama, joining the ranks of Glenn Beck, Limbaugh types. I hope you put forth as much effort criticizing Bush when it took courage to, like the Dixie Chicks. Jesus Christ, where's this guy been? Republicans stick together, close ranks, and support their leader in power. Even now, Reagan gets so much credit for things he did not even come close to doing, being fiscally conservative, etc. But instead of supporting this president and naming at least one thing he has done, and he has accomplished a lot, you keep finding the stupidest things to denounce him for. Mike, I'm sorry to see you join the ranks of the crazy Tea Party folks. Oh, my God. Secretly organized by grassroots organization Americans for Prosperity. Bush-backed program supported big money, so it was easy for him to push his objectives through. T-H-R-E-W. Unlike our president trying to make our world better for average Americans, it's not easy to fight against all that big money interest in media people like you. The progressive talk radio disgusts me for attacking President Obama instead of helping to shore up support. Mike, I really loved your show. I'm sad that I can't stand to listen anymore. My hope is next time I tune in, you may have changed your tune. Ha, not funny. But I do hope to be laughing along with you again. Maybe. Mike, come back to me. I so enjoyed your show. What kind of drugs is this freak on? This is from Marjade, M-A-R-G-A-D-E, Marjade at Mac.com. Come back to you. What, are you out of your mind? Well, what? I know. This person thought he was listening to... never mind. Screw it. It just never fails to amaze me to get emails like that. Apparently, I said the wrong... Oh, that's right. The other night when I read that thing from an open letter from Ralph Nader to Barack Obama, a letter was written months ago... Or no, back during the campaign or months ago. And the person that sent me this email is just now catching up to reality. I guess I don't know. I wish if somebody wants to criticize the show, fine. But for Christ's sake, listen to a couple of episodes or a couple of programs so you know what you're criticizing. So you know, and please, what happened in this country with the ability to write a coherent sentence and spell through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H, when it's meant that way instead of through, T-H-R-E-W? I mean, come on! And punctuation, yeah. Am I being petty? You're petty? You're goddamn right I'm being petty. Somebody wants to write to me, make your letter make sense, all right? Don't have run-on sentences. Don't have misspelled words. Don't have garbled syntax and, Jesus. Is it time for another? I think it is. It's time we did another a Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag. You know, where the people write in. We got a bunch of people write in about, you know, they want to rape my 5-year-old and F you and F your wife and your wife's a whore. God. Oh, this just came in. Steve Malzberg is, this is from, who's this from? madgun, M-A-D-D gun, 999 at gmail.com. Steve Malzberg is from New York City, where I'm from. He is a million times better than you are. He speaks the truth against terrorist sympathizers misspelled like you. You should be with a statue across your old ugly commenced face. You piece of, you know what? Why don't you go live in Cuba where you belong, you self-hating scum? Go paint yourself black, you asswipe. You and your family should be deported. You are running this country. That's from madgun999 at gmail.com. M-A-D-D-G-U-N 999 at gmail.com. You and your family, you and your family should be deported. You are running this country. Oh, my God. And what was this? Go paint yourself, black you asswipe. What? This is the erudite right. We'll be right back.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Time for retribution.
25 before the hour. What about this Lieberman? Man, I don't know about this guy. I just wish his wife Hadassah would, I don't know, put a quirk in him or something. Jeez. Speaking of his wife Hadassah, before we get to the sound bites, it's astonishing the hypocrisy in this family of Joe and Hadassah Lieberman. James Hampshire at FireDogLake.com put this out today about Hadassah Lieberman. His wife is a compensated so-called global ambassador for the Susan G. Komen Fund for the Cure of Breast Cancer. Hadassah Lieberman gets paid money to be a so-called global ambassador for the Susan G. Komen for the Cure anti-breast cancer organization. It's the world's biggest breast cancer charity. Susan G. Komen for the Cure. It's put its considerable weight behind ensuring that any reform bill that comes out of Congress serves to improve the lives of their dependents. So why is Susan G. Komen for the Cure using donations that it takes in for a cure for cancer to pay the salary of Hadassah Lieberman, wife of Joe Lieberman, who has pledged to kill any health insurance reform bill containing a public option? Son of a bitch. How does this stuff happen? Huh? How does this happen? You really do need, Truth Seeker, to get in touch with the Susan G. Komen, or Susan G. Komen, K-O-M-E-N, for the Cure organization, and ask them to fire her. She's taking money. Now, I doubt if the organizing board of Susan G. Komen for the Cure, well, how could they not be aware? Why are they paying the wife of a man who is doing everything he can to bring about the deaths of Yahweh only knows how many more women because they don't have a public option, where they can get health insurance, which they don't have now, so they can get the mammograms, so they can get the treatments, whatever. Hadassah Lieberman is taking money money that people are contributing to Susan G. Komen for the cure. Hadassah Lieberman takes money and puts it in her pocket while her husband is busy at work in the Senate and on television and wherever he can put his bony ass talking about how he is going to stop health insurance reform, especially the public option. How does this stuff come to be? Anybody got an answer? Hadassah Lieberman taking money that comes in the form of contributions to Susan G. Komen for the cure about breast cancer. And her puke-ass husband is out there in the United States Senate saying, I'm going to do anything I can.
I don't know. What am I going to do? I have to go home and ask Hadassah. I don't know what.
You hypocritical bastards, both of you. Now tell me that Hadassah Lieberman doesn't know her husband's position on health insurance reform. Tell me that Hadassah Lieberman doesn't understand that Holy Joe has stated categorically he's going to filibuster against public option. He will not vote for it. He will join the Republicans. So why is Hadassah Lieberman taking money? God damn it, somebody give me an answer! Oh my God! Hadassah Lieberman paid money while her husband is trying to kill the public option. Anybody want to explain that to me? See what I'm talking about? I told you. I got some stuff on the list tonight that, you know, when I went through this stuff today, I just about lost it. What? His old lady is taking money that comes in the form of donations to pay her ass for what? While her husband works to kill a public option for women who can't afford on their own. Can you believe this? To get checked for breast cancer. How many people, when Holy Joe does his dirty, crappy-ass work, how many women are going to die of breast cancer because of this son of a bitch while his old lady is taking money from the Susan Komen for the Cure organization? This stuff is so over the top. I mean, how you can't make this up. You cannot make this stuff up. His old lady sucks money off while Lieberman walks around the Senate strutting his bony ass talking about how he is going to stop this nonsense. Public option. Oh, no.
Have I had a heart attack yet, Kathy?
I can't get my head around this stuff. Here's Lieberman with Bob Schieffer on the Face the Nation yesterday.
On one part of it, the so-called Medicare buy-in, the opposition to it has been growing as the week has gone on. Though I don't know exactly what's in it, from what I hear, I certainly would have a hard time voting for it because it has some of the same infirmities that the public option did. It will add taxpayer costs. It will add to the deficit. It's unnecessary. The basic bill, which has a lot of good things in it, provides a generous new system of subsidies for people between ages 55 and 65 and choice and competition. So, you know, Bob, I think we're at they're not 60 votes for health care reform in the Senate now.
Especially since you son of a bitch, said you told Harry Reid you'd filibuster. He doesn't want the 55 to 65 age group included to buy in to Medicare. How many women between 55 and 65 who do not have health insurance discover that horrible lump in their breast? Which either may or may not be malignant, which is beside the point. If the woman has health insurance, she can immediately get it checked. If it is cancerous, she can immediately have procedure. She can get medication. But this son of a bitch, while his wife Hadassah sits on the board, or not on the board, but is compensated, paid money that comes in the form of contribute. You know, all the people who march Susan G. Komen for the Cure. How many times have you seen it? The three-day marches where you get pledges, raising money, raising money. And then Hadassah Lieberman sucks some of the money out while her husband struts around the Senate saying he's going to kill that. And how many thousands of women with it, Joe? Here's Lieberman again.
But we've got to stop adding to the bill. We've got to start subtracting some controversial things. I think the only way to get this done before Christmas is to bring in some Republicans who are open-minded on this, like Olympia Snow. I'll tell you.
Well, what do you have to do to do that?
You got to take out the Medicare buy-in. You got to forget about the public option. You probably have to take out the Class Act, which is a whole new entitlement program that will, in future years, put us further into deficit. And you got to adopt some of the cost containment provisions that will strengthen cost containment that all of us favor. If you did that, you'd have an enormous accomplishment.
And a huge gift to the insurance and pharmaceutical industries just in time for Christmas. Right, Holy Joe? You hypocritical son of a bitch. What happens when Hadassah goes in for a mammogram and they tell her she's got a lump? What then, Joe? Huh? Your insurance kicks in, doesn't it? You got to take out Medicare, he says. You've got to forget about the public option. You squeamy bastard, you. Now, you Republican women who vote for other Republicans, hang your head in shame. Go ahead. What are you going to do, Miss Republican? If you vote for these swine and you don't have health insurance and they find the little lump in your breast, what are you going to do? Thanks to Joe Lieberman. If he gets his way, and he probably will because the Democratic Party is chock-a-block with cowardly bastards themselves. What are you going to do, Miss Republican, when you get the lump and you've been laid off and you tried to keep your insurance on Cobra and now it's gone and you had to choose between making the payments and buying food for your family because your husband's laid off too? What are you going to do? Vote Republican again? I'm pissed off tonight. I am really pissed off tonight. We'll be back.
Make nice, it's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Oh, man. I don't know why I get so crazed about this stuff. I guess it's because, well, let me back up. No woman in my family, my extended family, my nuclear family, any part of my family has ever developed breast cancer. I've had aunts that lived into their 90s. My mother lived to be 89. My sister died at 59 of lung cancer. That was from smoking. But nobody in my family, I have two daughters, I have two daughters who are around 40. No woman in my family has ever had breast cancer. So it's almost like, okay, so it's not my issue. Yes, it is, for a number of reasons. Mainly, I have known people who have developed breast cancer. I have friends right now, friends who are dealing with it. I have a very good friend who is a 10-year survivor so far, but it's beginning to show its ugliness again in her body. I have another friend, 3.5 years. I have bunches of friends. I've had women friends who have had mastectomies. And when some piece of human waste, like Joe Lieberman, who stands for nothing, absolutely nothing, tells America via the Sunday talk shows that he is going to prevent a public option. And he goes into Harry Reid, a spineless son of a bitch who has no more business being speaker, Senate Majority Leader than I do, and says to him the same thing. And then his wife, Hadassah, is stealing money. That's what it is, stealing money from the Susan G. Komen for the Cure, the largest breast cancer organization on earth. And Hadassah Lieberman stuffs it in her Gucci bag, as much money as she can get her hands on, while her husband, oh well. Here's Lieberman again yesterday from CBS Face the Nation. Bob Schieffer asked him a question.
Either of you think this can pass with the buy-in to Medicare in it and or a public option
no,
that goes back?
No, they're not 60 votes for that, because the bill itself does a lot to bring 30 million people into the system. We don't need to keep adding on to the back of this horse, because we're going to break the horse's back and get nothing done. And I want to tell you, we could pass a health care reform bill this week with more than 60 votes, and it will be bipartisan if we just took a few things out of the bill as it is
today.
Give
it. We have just a short time. Give me the list of...
the hour. This is the Malloy program. I'm not going to make a big deal about this, but I just want to add to what I said during the last segment. I'm not a big joiner. I don't belong to any organizations at all except my union, the AFTER union. And the YMCA. Is that about it? Is that it, Kathy? YMCA and my union. Yeah. I used to be a Boy Scout. That's it. I'm not a big joiner. I'm just not. I believe the nice loose affiliations, you know, you can move from group to group and learn and in some instances teach and just keep moving, you know, be a moving target. And what that has done for me over the course of my life, it stopped the calcification that can occur, right? You know, you get into an organization, a good organization, eventually become calcified. You become focused on the organization and not on the work it does, yada, 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 yada. So I'm not a big joiner, and I'm not going to make a very great big deal about this conversion from the Democratic Party to Democratic Socialism. The break for me is complete now. Absolutely, totally complete. As Molly says, pinky promise? Yes, pinky promise that this is it for me. I've done what I think is, adequate work in trying to be a good Democrat within the parameters of the Democratic Party. I've, you know, as I understood it. I was brought up that way. I was brought up in a strictly union background and civil rights and equal rights and yada, yada, yada. But as Dylan said, you don't need to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You also don't need to be a political scientist to understand that both parties now are completely, totally corrupt insofar as working for the average American person. We know that. You know, everything started to crumble for me. I mean, really crumble during the Clinton years, with the destruction of Glass-Steagall, with the institution of NAFTA. The World Trade Organization watching what they do, the World Bank. Not to say that these organizations haven't done a few good things, but usually it's with the goal of enhancing corporate power, not people power, to borrow a phrase from the Philippines. So I've had it, and I mean it. There's no going back for me. And again, I'm not going to mention this a whole lot. Check out what Bernie Sanders does. Check out the website for the Democratic Socialists of America, DSAUSA.org, and make your own decision. You know, it's entirely up to you. I'm not a big proselytizer either. But I just wanted to get that said so that if you are a regular listener to this program and you start to hear a lack of rhetoric for supporting the Democratic Party, or you start to hear even more criticism of what the Democratic Party has done and is doing, you'll understand where it's coming from. This is not gratuitous criticism. I don't play games on this program. I really don't, unless they're clearly identified as games. Sure. But where it concerns points of view or the subjects we cover, no, it's not a game. It's for real. I don't do anything to make people go, oh, my gosh, we better listen to him tomorrow. What's that about? No. That's not good stuff. That's BS. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that. Okay. Prairie 2 sent this in. We'll get to your phone calls here in a minute. I realize folks are holding on. I will get there. Prairie 2 writes, three more bank chains were seized today, bringing the total to 133 for the year. The head of the FDIC says the peak for bank failures will come next year. Indeed, the commercial loans made 5 years ago will be coming due. Those loans will be to many of the more overextended developments built at the peak of the bubble years. The Treasury Department has instituted a program to bail out as many of the small banks as it can to keep the failure numbers from getting too big right before the 2010 elections. The headline today was that retail sales for November were up more than 1%. But contrast this with state sales tax receipts that are down 10 to 20% depending on how deep your state is into the depression. States are gearing up to slash next year's budgets, and this will not be good for the economy. The House has passed a bill regulating the financial services industry. Woohoo! It's not nearly enough, but Republicans are screaming that it's the end of freedom for Americans. So there must be a couple of good things in it. Funny how they don't care about any of the freedoms we've lost so far, but regulate parasitic bankers, and it's the end of the world. The rest of the world is paying close attention to whether or not the U.S. is serious about reining in these overgrown corporations that threaten the world economy. This is a no-brainer for the rest of the world after last year's banking collapse. The runaway food commodity markets, fueled by speculators and the specter of famine, was a wake-up call for most. There is some hint that this could be starting up again as the rice market is heating up. It's possible to store grain for a number of years if you go about it right, or you can just go with canned goods in the Christmas stocking this year. Prairie 2. You can check out his website, prairienumeral2.com. Some phone calls would be appropriate. Blaine is in Overland Park, Missouri, right?
Kansas.
I'm sorry. Well, I was close.
Yeah, it was. Hey, nice to talk to you, Mike. I normally don't listen to your program, but I was on errands tonight, and I was flipping around, and I heard you reading about Nader's opinions of Obama's play, and it strikes a chord with me. I'm a conservative, and I think a lot of the people that probably voted for Obama are probably feeling the same buyer's remorse that I felt for good old W back in 2001, especially after the Patriot Act was passed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like both parties are corrupt. Both are controlled by the bankers. They do not have the people's best interest at heart, and they do not really care what their constituents feel. I think people need to start acting at the local level, be they conservative, socialist, Democrat, whatever, and start taking back our country at the grassroots level. And don't pay attention to what the national parties say, because both parties are bought and paid for by the Goldman Sachs's, the oil companies. It's very frustrating. And
what is your view as to how, without getting too deep here, because you know this is a radio program, but what's your view as how to restructure? You know, I'm in agreement with what you said up to this point, but since you identify yourself as a conservative, and I certainly identify myself as a Democrat, or am now a Democratic Socialist, you and I at some point would diverge, and if we hold to history of these two parties, we would diverge dramatically. So what do you see as how you want to see the country go?
Well, I think you would probably agree with me. If we went back to our constitutional roots and just kept it at what I find brilliant about what the founders enacted in this country was the person has the power, and the government should not be, we're almost serfs now, but make it more of a local activist level. If you and I were at competing for the same position, or we were as candidates as maybe the county level or whatnot, let our debate be the factor. Let us be the ones that determine where the direction of our local community goes.
Well, that...
But both of us would wear our hearts on our sleeves, basically. We're not going to hide behind lies. We're going to say, you know, I believe in personal liberty, the free market. You may have different opinions, but, you know, let it come out. I'm not going to...
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fair enough, Blaine. And I hope you continue to listen. I'm glad you found the program. I've got a break here, make way for commercials. But thanks for calling, and I hope you'll continue to tune in. We'll be right back, Truth Seekers. Stay with us.
Tonight, how much he hates these people. It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Coming up after the next break, our second attempt. Last one was successful to give away 1 year subscription to Malloy podcast downloads, commercial free. Reproductions of the program. You get a whole year's supply if you are to buy them for $59.60 a year. And if you buy one now, you also get one an entire year free, so that you can give as a gift subscription. So if you're inclined to do that, go to my website, MikeMalloy.com. The information is there. But podcast trivia means you get one free if you get the right answer. Okay? Okay. John's in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hey, John.
Hello. Good night. Good evening.
Hi.
I am the fellow that sent you a letter about I'm running against Blanche Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you also sent me the video, which I've not looked at yet. What else did you send me? You sent me something else, too.
A check.
Oh, that's right. A one-year subscription, which we sent into our business office up in Connecticut. Thank you very much, John. I would like to, at some point, get you on the program and talk about your platform and so on and so forth.
Excellent. No, your subject tonight really caught my attention, though, and one of the things I've been saying to people that I meet, I've been meeting a lot of people, and a lot of them from out of state, saying, I wish we lived here in Arkansas so we could vote for you. And I simply tell them, you can vote for me simply by, if you have a free trader in whatever category is in, whether he's a Democrat or Republican or whatever, vote him out of office. It doesn't matter who you get in his place. Anybody that has enough sense not to be a free trader probably has enough sense to do some other things correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so-called free trade is has there been a worse joke perpetrated on the American public than this NAFTA and GATT, the General Agreement on Trade and Tariff, all this stuff that has left us where we are in this country? I understand that we are entering into a different era, that hardcore big industrial manufacturing may be, a dinosaur industry. We should be moving on. But what a better way. I'm sure there are better ways to make the transition than just shutting everything down and making people go unemployed and saying, well, you got to retrain.
Well, retrain for what?
Not everybody
either wants to be a computer engineer or a computer programmer or whatever.
Right.
And not everybody is capable of it.
That's true.
You're writing off probably 8/10 of the American public who is quite content to work at a factory job, a manufacturing job, and things do have to be manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to just give that up and say there are higher level jobs out there when there aren't in reality is rather foolish, I think. And, the way I look at the thing is, I was involved in moving jobs out of the United States to Mexico for many years. I never met a worker on either side of the border who was helped by this, because we pay, subsistence level wages in Mexico, and we lay people off to an uncertain future here.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to say that, and everything I've read and studied has shown that the whole free trade mantra has really increased poverty and hunger throughout the world. There's an excellent new book by John Jeter called Flat Broke in a Free Market that really describes the devastation being meted out to the poor people across the world as we transfer wealth from the poor to the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that probably more important than anything else is just clean house with the people who are infected with this free trade virus or whatever it is, and get some people in there who have a little more common sense and who have the interest of the working man at heart. And I don't see how we can be a help to anybody by going out of business and becoming weak, becoming the world's largest, most in-debt third world nation. We need to be strong.
Yeah, we do. We need to be strong economically. I'll tell you what I'd like you to do, John. We would love to have you on the program. Send an email to Kathy, my producer. It's just malloyproducer@aol.com. malloyproducer@aol.com. Send her a little info, and we'll book you in, okay?
Very good.
All right, John, thank you. And thanks for the renewal on your podcast subscription. I appreciate that, man.
Thank you for the program.
All right. Take care, John.
Okay, good night.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, I hope he does that. I want to get this guy on, Kathy. And anybody who is not running as a Democrat or a Republican, I don't mean if you're running as a Nazi, but if you are a real progressive, we'd like to give you some airtime. You know what I'm saying? Podcast trivia when we come back. The number here is 877-996-2556. If you're on hold, Kathy's going to check with you and see if you want to do the podcast trivia route. Okay? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You got that mystery. Lord, I need a plan. All I got is this compromise and a bag full of alibis. Lord, as empty as a bottle of whiskey in my shaking hand. It's gonna be east in the valley tomorrow.
It's time once again for podcast trivia on the Mike Malloy Radio Show, where you can win a one-year subscription to commercial-free podcast downloads. All you have to do is come up with the right answer to our trivia question. All right, cut the music. God, I hate that music. All right, let's go with Carol Lee, who is in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Mike.
All right, you ready to give this a shot?
I'm ready.
Okay, let me see. Okay, here's your question. Who was Jack Abramoff? Was he A, one of the Supreme Court nominees rejected by the Senate? B, former Bush White House press secretary? C, Dick Cheney's assistant who took the fall for the Valerie Plame outing? Or D, lobbyist and currently incarcerated con man with ties to many powerful Republican members of Congress?
D!
D!
But it's running out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, man, this is called, it's called Kismet. No, it's serendipity. No, you got the right answer. Way to go. All right,
yeah.
Carol Lee, before I hang up, let's talk about what you want to talk about, reforming the Democratic Party. But I'm going to put you on hold so that you can give Kathy whatever information she needs, right?
Okay.
All right, now, what you really called about is...
That was a little dismal. I mean, I certainly understand why you want to disavow the Democratic Party now, mm-hmm. but I think the two-party system is really entrenched, and now may be a good time to put energy towards taking over the Democratic Party.
Wait, Carol. Carol, I've been trying this for over a decade. No, I've finally reached that point. I've said many times on this program, I'm a Democrat, big D, at heart, always have been. But you know what? I'm beginning to believe in economic democracy, and we're not getting it from the Democratic Party. We are getting from the Democratic Party, going back to Slick Willie, and I admit he's a talker. Oh, Slick Willie can really talk. He could just about convince you anything. And you know, I voted for him twice, but I've had enough. The Democratic Party cannot be reformed. And I think what really tore it for me was when the Democrats finally got control of the House, when was it, a year and a half ago, and Nancy Pelosi sat there and said, no impeachment's off the table. We had a criminal administration in charge of this country for two terms, and in both instances they stole the election. And the top Democrat in the People's House said, no, it's off the table. And now we have a Democrat in the White House who is saying... In a friend of the court brief, in a case in California, no, we don't want you to go after John Yoo in a civil case, actually on any case, because they have thwarted every single possible move by anybody to try to bring these people to justice. That's a long way of saying, Carol, really, truly, irrevocably, I am not going back. I've had it with the Democratic Party. It cannot be reformed. It cannot be.
You 1,000% about the party, but if you look at all the avenues for change, they're all bad. I mean, a third party is just going to mean the Republicans will get in. I mean, there is no solution.
Well, I don't believe in no solutions. I really don't. If the next couple of three elections mean. Or if the next election means that because enough people vote Democratic Socialist, a Republican gets in, well, that's the way it goes. I mean, I can't, nor can you, be responsible for the collective ignorance and blindness of the American people. And I am not going to buy into it any further. I cannot. It's a matter of being able to go to sleep at night. It's a matter of being able to look myself in the mirror. I can't talk about this hypocrisy any longer. I can't come on this program, Carol Lee, and talk to people about voting for the Democratic Party. I can't do it. Because in doing that, what I'm doing in my little 38 listener radio program, I'm saying one thing and thinking something else, and I can't. I can't do it. Now, I'm not, I said, I'm not a proselytizer. I'm not after people, converts. Everybody walks their own path. I firmly believe that. But I, Mike Malloy, and I also said that I will put Democratic candidates on this program who have an agenda that closely parallels or is the same as economic democracy or social democracy, however you want to say it. But I'm finished with the Democratic Party. I'm finished with it here in Georgia. I'm finished with it nationally. It's over.
Well, what about groups like MoveOn.org or groups that kind of are part of the Democratic Party but work on the outside? I mean, what about those?
I'll continue to support MoveOn. And again, I will continue to support certain Democratic candidates the best I can. But their agenda has to be one that is almost a complete break from what the Democratic Party is doing. Otherwise, let me ask you, why keep voting for the same thing? It's, Carol, it's not going to change. You and I.
Well, I really feel like, we don't have that much of a choice. It's a two-party system. And actually, I was more progressive and started out not voting hardly at all and just disavowing politics. And that's more later in life that I started really voting and being involved. And so I'm thinking more of just critiquing the Democratic Party and trying to work to change it.
Well, I respect that. I respect you for making that choice. That's just not the choice that I can make. All right.
Okay.
All right, Carol. Now hold on. Let me put you on hold,
yeah.
and I'll get Kathy to tell you how to do this. All right. I think it's time for. Do we have music for Relief of the Week? I don't think we do. All right. Let me. This is something. Rolaids is one of our sponsors, and this little feature is called the Relief of the Week. And it's sponsored by Rolaids. And what I do is each week on Friday, I pick some story that gave me some relief. And here's my relief of the week for this week. Congressman Dennis Kucinich is circulating two what are called privileged resolutions in an attempt to trigger votes to end the wars in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Yeah. Afghanistan and Pakistan. Kucinich, in a written release a couple of days ago, said, I will begin circulating two privileged resolutions which will trigger debate and votes on a timely withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan and Pakistan. He said the other day the U.S. Secretary of Defense at his side, the president of Afghanistan, when Gates was in that country, declared that his country's security forces will need financial and training assistance from the United States for the next 15 to 20 years. We cannot afford this. We cannot afford the loss of lives. We cannot afford the cost to taxpayers. We cannot afford to fail to exercise our constitutional right to end these wars. And then Kucinich quotes Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, United States, makes it Congress's responsibility to determine whether or not we go to war or stay at war. Consistent with Article 1, Section 8, the privileged resolutions that he's going to introduce will invoke the War Powers Resolution of 1973. I ask for your support of these resolutions, Kucinich writes, which will be introduced in the House in January. So, Kucinich is going to make an effort. I know. Go to his website, Kucinich.us, and see what you can do to help. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my relief of the week. Rolaids. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. How do I spell relief? K-U-C-I-N-I-C-H. Well, not really. Kucinich is somebody who has, who certainly has not given up, but I would not call Kucinich, a Democrat, a big D Democrat in the sense that his party colleagues are in the House. Look how disrespected he is most of the time. Is Kucinich, as long as he's been in the U.S. House, is he the chairman of any powerful committee or powerful subcommittee? Is he ever included in these discussions when the big dogs in the Democratic Party and the U.S. House get together and decide which corporation's ass they're going to kiss next? Huh? No. I think Kucinich is one of those who retains his Democratic Party affiliation because, Cleveland is not yet completely underwater. And if he identified himself as Bernie Sanders, even Bernie Sanders, didn't he? I guess he's independent, but the people who voted for him knew he was voting for a socialist. I think, that's Vermont, right? Ohio is a little bit different, and Kucinich has to play the game. But Kucinich, by any definition I've seen, maybe there's stuff out there I haven't seen. But by any working definition of a democratic socialist or a social democrat, if the term democratic socialist is scary, Kucinich qualifies in what he advocates. So that's my relief of the week, sponsored by Rolaids, and we thank them for sponsoring it. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This hole in the wall. I call a holster that is empty, just a gun to the head. I am a holy roller. I'm playing Russian roulette. I've been told gambling's a sin. I'm gonna place my bets. I'm gonna play to win.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. Joe in Vista, California writes, regarding the caller that said not everyone can be a programmer, when your job disappears. I think that was Steve, wasn't it? Regarding that, Joe writes, Mike, I was a programmer for about 25 years. Companies don't want to even see a resume with that kind of experience. They consider us to be too expensive. If a person actually has a degree in engineering, as I do, they are lucky if they are working in that field after reaching 50. Their best bet is to plan for this and have a backup profession completely thought out as a backup. Fortunately for me, I had a backup profession as a cabinet furniture maker. Take care and have a great holiday season. You too, Joe. Go to his website, woodistry.com. Wood, I-S-T-R-Y, woodistry. I like that, like artistry. Woodistry, woodistry.com. Custom furniture and cabinetry, especially if you live on the West Coast. Woodistry.com. Well, you try saying it. Woodistry. Woodistry. Thanks, Joe. And this is subject, Adios Democrats. This is from Jeff in Washington State, who writes, Mike, the DNC can kiss my Dick Cheney. One brief example of my frustrations comes because of actions by the Grant County, Washington Democrats. We always hear that all politics start at the local level, right? The GCD, the Grant County Democrats, passed a resolution during the last state election to support one of the two Republican candidates for county prosecutor. There was no other party candidate. It's extremely red around here, but I remain for some of the same reasons you speak of about where you're at, and I like to piss them off every chance there is. So I called the GCD to complain and to ask why in the hell do such a thing. A return call? Never received. I emailed one of the officers of the county Democrats and finally got a snide reply stating that, yes, that's what they did. So what? So I called the National Democratic National Committee and was basically answered with, so what? And that they wouldn't intervene into local organizations' matters. So I called the Washington State Democratic Committee, was brushed off with the same type of crap. It wasn't until I finally threw a fit over the phone that the chairman took the call and attempted to chastise me while stating that my concern, quote, wasn't important and there's a health care bill to get passed, end quote. Well, thanks but no thanks. They can all synchronize their watches and join the Wicked Witch of the North as far as I'm concerned. By the way, that succubus was in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho this week signing her book covered scribbling. And one of the women that the local news station showed up on television was shaking and crying. She was so overcome. Creature peoples were lining up the night before in single-digit weather. The first woman in line was interviewed and said she had to attend because she'd never have another opportunity to experience such an event. I can't take it anymore and can't even buy canned food any longer for fear I'll start lobbing them at the Democrats and the Republican crowds, and then have to spend the rest of my life in Gitmo. Jeff in Washington State. Yeah. I got something coming up next hour that you're going to like. It's entitled The Obama Effect. It's very quick. The Demise of the Democratic Party and a Gift to the Country. Where are we? Right here. Dave is in Tarpon Springs, Florida. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I am also a frustrated Democrat. I'm not quite ready to bail out of the party yet, in part because we are a two-party country. I don't know what realistic option we have, but, I mean, I think it's fixable. We just need – I love those FDR clips that you'll play from time to time. We need somebody pugnacious. We need somebody at a higher level, hopefully Obama himself, to start fighting and calling out these Republicans for what they are. They are no longer a legitimate political party. They no longer operate in good faith.
Well, that's true. They don't operate in good faith within the parameters of the two-party system as they should be right now. They should be the loyal opposition to a party that is working to advance the interests of the American average American person. But the Democratic Party has delegitimized itself also because of what they're doing. And I just can't, you know, I simply can't do it anymore. I understand your reluctance to give up on the Democratic Party. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. It's a very difficult decision to make if you have been a Democrat most of your or all of your adult life. It is a difficult decision, but I just simply have had enough. I've busted my ass since 1963, and I've had enough.
I hear you. I understand. You know what I equate it to, Mike? Are you still there?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I equate the current climate, you know, in the country to a boxer, you know, fighting with rules, fighting against an ultimate fighter in a cage match, you know, kicking, scratching, clawing, eye gouging. You know, and I think the Democrats are trying to reach common ground, and they wind up appeasing and appeasing and appeasing. And this goes back to Clinton as well. I know you're mad, as we all are, about Clinton, too. And they're trying to appease, again, a party not interested in solving our problems at all. Somebody needs to step up and call them out. I hear a few of the guests, you know, congresspeople on some of the other shows on Sirius XM and stuff.
Right,
finally.
Right.
You know, admitting that and saying it publicly, it just needs to be louder and stronger. And let's shame these people. Obama could do it so elegantly. And
well, Dave, I hear you, man, loud and clear, but they can't be shamed. I mean, if we had 8 years of a administration that broke every single law and rule from Nuremberg conclusions after World War II to the U.S. Constitution, to Geneva Conventions on behavior during times of warfare, and then we had a Democrat leader, Nancy Pelosi, and her counterpart in the Senate saying, "Get over it. We're not going to do anything to punish these criminals who took over the country. That's where that's when it tore for me. Hey, Dave, I got to leave it there, pal. Thank you. I'm glad you called in. I hope you check in with us again. Take care. All right. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on Friday evening. We have one more round of podcast trivia coming up at the bottom of this hour. So so far tonight, gave away 2 subscriptions. We want to give away a third one. Stick around. If you get the right answer, you win a free 1-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast downloads. And, you know, you don't need an iPod. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't have an iPod. No. It just comes to you in an MP3 format. And you can listen on your computer. All right? All right. Douglas is in Sacramento. Hey, Douglas.
Hey, Michael. Well, good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
I'm hearing an echo. My voice is echoing.
You must have ghosts in the machine.
Okay.
You're coming through here loud and clear. Everything's cool.
All right, I'll just try to ignore it.
Okay.
Oh, the Bush thing, you know, but the Bushniks broke more laws than that. They broke laws dating back to the Magna Carta. Remember?
Yep. Yes, I do.
Mm. Anyway, I told Kathy I had a possible answer to why they despise Clinton so much.
All right.
Why that woman at the cocktail party you told about once, why she said something about...
Oh, yeah, yeah, Christmas party where she...
He was dishonest or something?
Well, no, she got in my face and she said, I don't like him. I said, why not? And she leaned over in her very expensive dress, her very expensive jewelry, and she said, because he was an effing liar, only she didn't say effing.
Right. And I thought the balanced budget thing that he put through might have been it.
No, it was... what, you mean the reason the woman said that?
Right.
Oh, it's because she was a psychopathic Republican.
Oh, that too.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see...
She had no reason to say it. She just said it.
Well, they thought he was a corporatist. They thought that he was their guy. They just were giving him grief for the hell of it because he was on the other side of the aisle. And then he went ahead and did a couple of things that really shafted them.
That really shafted...
The corporatists, the balanced budget amendment was one.
Well, I don't think. I would disagree with you on that, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was anything that Bill Clinton did, anything that was counter to a corporate agenda for this country. Balanced budget effort. When you say the balanced budget thing. There was no law passed. There was no, he didn't alter anything. He just,
Wasn't there a pay-as-you-go thing went through under his watch?
A what?
A pay-as-you-go amendment. That's what balanced the budget. There
might have been something entitled pay-as-you-go, but that was the way Clinton destroyed, in his 8 years, as much of the social safety net in this country as he could. Most of it had to do with poor people. His so-called welfare reform efforts were nothing but Republican-dictated agenda items. So I don't know. It might have been called pay-as-you-go, but there was, as far as I know, I may be wrong, but there was nothing passed that I'm aware of that became the law of the land. If so, was it repealed when Bush came in?
No, there was a sunset clause. It just ended.
It ended? What, it was only good for 2 years? 3 years?
Something, I think.
Well, I don't know. I'm lost on that one, Douglas.
Oh, good, the echo's gone.
Yeah, okay.
Well, oh, by the way, I'm the guy that I talked to you at Yoshi's, remember?
Probably.
Yeah. And I think I reminded you about the time at the Crest Theater and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
So I'm still out here listening.
Well, good.
I don't find the time to call in as much anymore, but I'm still here.
Well, that's good. All right. Thanks a lot, Douglas. I appreciate what you had to say. Thank you. Let me see if I can. Have we got time? When do we break here? Okay. Let me try to do this. This is from Michael Rechtenwald, PhD, The Obama Effect. The decision to escalate Afghanistan war should put the final nail in the coffin of change and hope that Democrats and others crawled into when they supported Obama. The evidence that Obama is every bit the representative of the corporate oligarchy and no less a corporate show than the rest has been mounting for nearly a year, or well before the election. Only fanatics could have heard Obama's speech in Afghanistan the other night and failed to hear the resonances of Bush. But the writing was on the wall over a year ago when Obama supported the bailouts of the banks and brokerage firms that leveraged their destruction of the economy on the foreclosure of homes. Few could miss the fact that the health care reform bill, should it ever pass, will be another unwarranted and gratuitous bailout, this one of the insurance and pharmaceutical companies. Obama diverted the legitimate anger and energy for real change and scuttled it under the fraudulent tent of the Democratic Party. He led millions to the cliff, and they are now falling off in droves. Those who've not quite gotten to the edge screech and yell, "Wait, give him time!" Those who gave warning from the outset are not busy casting nets. We welcome the demise of the Democratic Party. And that is exactly the Obama effect. Every last tissue of belief in the Democrats should by now be shred and cast aside. The Democrats are no less the corporate bailers and militarists than the Republicans. They hand trillions to the banks and brokerage firms. They dissolve union contracts and send the workers to the dogs. Their unmanned drones bomb Pakistan, killing and maiming innocents and displacing tens of thousands. They sell the same lies about the wars that they have to do with terrorism or democracy rather than oil and other resources as their predecessors did. They fund the very enemy that they claim to fight. They keep up the same contracts with Blackwater and its successors. They vote for the same war funding. They carry out the same secret renditions. They sanction and continue the same spying on U.S. citizens. They exonerate torturers and war criminals from the previous administration. They are war criminals in complicity with other war criminals. For those who hadn't quite gotten the point before, thanks to Obama's euphistic and high-flown rhetoric excesses, no one can now believe that another Democrat, even an apparently more left one, will ever deliver a thing that he or she promises. Obama has filled the Democratic hot air balloon to the limit, and it has burst. It falls like a failing parachute along with those who trusted it. Despite all of this, or rather because of it, Obama has given, albeit unwittingly, a great gift to the majority. He has shown those who still have brainwaves that nevermore should anyone other than a corporate shill believe in a Democrat for any positive change in terms of the vast majority. The one thing that Obama has changed is the credulity accorded Democratic demagoguery. Am I merely opening the door for the Republicans to fill the vast void of credibility left by the Democrats, you ask? To answer requires some clarification. The Democrats are one of two levers by which the ruling oligarchy controls the political processes to their nearly exclusive advantage. This isn't a new development. It has merely become too obvious to ignore. The Democrats have left this void. It's not my doing. I recommend that it be filled by a working class party movement, not a Green Party, not a Libertarian Party, not an Independent Party, but a party that is aligned with the vast majority, a party of the workers, workers of farms, of factories, of schools, of construction sites, of the auto industry, of the retail industry, of the research firms, of the institutions of higher education, of banks, of city and other government offices, of those who make their living not from profit, but from wages. Every other party in every other country has ended up being just another lever of the ruling oligarchy. Only a working class majority can overcome the power elite and end the wars. Only a working class party can change the socio-political and economic conditions. Only a majority party can deliver to itself health care coverage. Only a majority party can save the environment. Only a majority party can order and order can put production on a rational basis for their own benefit and not the benefit of a tiny minority. We owe a great debt of gratitude to Obama. He has finally dashed and destroyed the false hopes in the Democratic Party and the political system as it stands. Obama was the false prophet of change. Now, let the real change begin. My goodness, like a cold shower, isn't it? We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Don't forget, after this break, one more shot at podcast trivia so you can win a 1 year's subscription to Malloy Show downloads, podcast downloads. You know, another thing that is just, I don't know how corporate media can take note of this in such a cavalier way, but they do. And how we, the people who actually work for a living, and risk unemployment, and have to deal with unemployment, like you may have or are facing it, like Kathy and I did at the beginning of this year. And in the midst of all that, the economic destruction that's occurred in this country as a result of 8 years of Republicanism, and before that, 8 years of Clinton. I mean, let's be real. Is that possible anymore? I don't think so. And before that, 4 years of Pappy Bush, and before that, 8 years of Reagan. So you really have to go back to 1980. The seeds may have been planted early. Earlier than 1980, but since 1980, for the past almost 30 years now, the destruction of the working class in this country has been a goal of the right wing. The destruction of the social safety net has been a goal of the right wing. And by the right wing, I don't just mean Republicans. I mean Democrats and Republicans. The people on the political right, like Clinton, like Reagan, like both Bushes, you know, and now like Obama. And it's almost become a reality. We are so close to having everything smashed onto the rocks here. So in the midst of all that, if you follow the news, you have already heard that Goldman Sachs, which apparently is the big monster in this country, or represents the big monsters, or has a lot of the big monsters working there, Goldman Sachs will pay out record bonuses this year. It's 20-something billion bonuses. Bonuses. For doing what? Now, you right-wingers, before you send me an email saying, well, how dare you attack the capitalist system? Those people work for their bonuses. Everybody deserves, you know, A, kiss my ass. But B, when you're composing your half-witted letter, maybe you can tell me exactly what the employees of Goldman Sachs did to get the bonus. On second thought, don't bother. But that's just one example. One example. And then we have an administration in place here who gave the impression, at least to us progressives and liberals and diehard Democrats who, as the one emailer said, crawled inside this box of denial and said, oh, no, I'm not going to listen. Barack Obama's a liberal progressive, blah, blah, blah. In the midst of all this, the big bonuses, we have a president who deems it okay to go ahead and commit another 30,000 American soldiers to a war that will not, by any definition, be won, even if winning only means building that goddamn pipeline. That's not going to happen either. So, in the midst of all that insanity, all this craziness, all this absolute mucked-up situation that we're dealing with, we have to also be aware that the financial services industry, the people who churn the stock market, you know, the stock market is up. It's up. It's higher than it's been for a long time. Who's making money on that? Seriously, who's making money on that? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea why the numbers are up? People are making money on the commodities market, too. You know what commodities are making money on? Food futures. What does that mean? It means they're buying and selling futures contracts on the basic essentials of life, which means when the dreck hits the fan, rice, wheat, corn, pork bellies, pig eyes, whatever the hell is considered a food anymore, will almost be priced beyond the reach of the average person in this country. I'm sick of it. But I haven't given up hope. I really haven't given up hope. I haven't given up hope, and I'm not ready to pick up a weapon and take to the streets. There has to be a different way, and the different way, of course, is to abandon these two hopelessly owned and operated by corporate America political parties. The system is stacked. The system is stacked to make it almost impossible for a third party to elect anybody, anywhere, anytime, on any level. But it still can be done. The operative word there is almost. So, having said that, and I hate that expression, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you get a chance to win a one-year subscription to Molloy Show podcast downloads. All right? If you're on hold, we're going to ask you the question. Kathy will check with you before we do this. So stick around. I'm Mike Molloy. Hit the towers in the Pentagon, killing those the government wasn't dependent on. It's easy to control the scared, so they keep us in fear. We're their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden this year. Bush disguises blood, thus his patriotism, convincing the living to love Operation Antietam. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract, anthrax. This further demonizes Afghanis, so Americans cheer while we kill their innocent families. And what better place to start a war, to build a pipeline to get the oil that they had wanted before. It's your last shot for tonight to win a free one-year subscription to Molloy Show commercial-free podcast downloads. Okay? If you're ready, I'm ready. Here we go. Chris is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on 1350 AM. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Mike. So what's the question?
Okay.
Hopefully it's as easy as the previous one.
Yeah, well, there's been a couple easy ones, but we saved the hard one for you.
Oh, great.
All right? But you can handle it. All right, here we go. What was unique about Bush's cabinet during the 8 years of illegal occupation? Different from all other previous cabinets. All right? Was it A, more multimillionaires than any prior cabinet, the richest cabinet in history? B, the only all-Christian cabinet in history? C, the only cabinet where all members were college graduates? Or D, only cabinet where all had the middle initial B. All right, let me do it again. What was unique about Bush's cabinet that made it different from all other previous presidential cabinets? A, more multimillionaires than any prior cabinet. B, the only all-Christian cabinet. C, the only cabinet where all members were college graduates. Or D, the only cabinet where all had the middle initial B.
Actually, I think it's a tough one. I'm hesitating between A and B. Give me a tip.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, I'll have to go with A.
A. You win.
Oh, great.
All right. Way to go. Yeah, it was the richest cabinet in history of this republic. More multimillionaires than any prior cabinet. So, you know, and remember how many of them owned, what, like 10 houses? It was just an obscenity.
Only 10?
Yeah, it was an obscenity, and I can imagine that if we took a look at the personal wealth of members of the Obama cabinet, we wouldn't find a great deal of difference. I don't know, maybe so. All right.
Can I still ask a question?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, before we hang up, though, I'll put you on hold, and Kathy will get the information for you. All right?
Great.
Go ahead. The reason you called in.
Yes. Well, you were very happy about the passage of the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, which is what it's called, apparently. Well, guess what? There was an amendment from Congressman Murphy of New York. Are you aware about this amendment?
No, I'm not.
Well, that amendment was passed, and I wasn't able to find the exact thing on the Thomas.org site. But anyway, this was an AP News that I read last night. Well, the amendment, it has an exemption for entities that trade in derivatives. And guess what the exemption is?
Well, any exemption that sets aside, outside the realm of public scrutiny, the derivatives market is madness and means that there's no check and balance at all. Why didn't they just reinstitute the Glass-Steagall Act?
Oh, yeah, good question. Anyway, I'm going to quote you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it exempts entities that trade in derivatives not as financial speculators, but as hedge against market fluctuations such as currency rates or gasoline prices. Now, this is the text from AP News. Well, we could probably add or housing or food or metals. Now, notice the word hedge.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, they can hedge against market fluctuations such as currency rates or gasoline prices.
Right.
Well, what else is there in derivatives anyway? I don't know. Okay.
There's real estate. There's mortgages.
You can hedge against market fluctuations in mortgages.
Oh, sure.
Can't you? I don't know. Okay. But anyway, this is a huge gap, okay? This is a huge exemption, and that amendment was passed.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt or any question, I should say, as to why it was passed. And that is, using a very simplistic answer here, it was passed because the members of Congress, regardless of the party, are in the for the majority, for the most part, they do what the people who put them in office want them to do. And the voters did not put them in office. The voters may have, trotted down to the rigged voting machines and pulled a lever or pushed or done a keystroke or whatever. But the only reason the candidates were candidates was because they were able to either as getting reelected or elected for the first time was to appeal to the people who provide the money.
Yeah, and this is a young congressman from New York, Congressman Murphy, M-U-R-P-H-Y, like you would have guessed.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely probably needs money to be reelected and probably got a lot of money to get elected.
I'll bet.
He looks very young. Okay, I'm not going to.
Yeah, well, with an amendment like that, I would imagine he got lots of money. All right, thank you, Chris. I'm going to put you on hold. Kathy will get the information from you. And congratulations on winning the podcast thingy. Steve is in Natick, Massachusetts. Is that right?
Natick, Mass.
Natick. Hey, Steve.
Steve the banker.
Oh, Steve the banker.
Okay. Long time.
Well, you gotta say that. Don't say, when Kathy says, where are you calling from? Just say, nah, I'm Steve the banker.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. All right, how you doing?
I figured you forgot about me.
How are you?
I'm still alive.
Well, good. Yeah, I get an email from you every now and again, so I know you're still alive, but.
Yeah, there's so many things to talk about, but I'm gonna talk about what I told, Kathy. Yeah, and that's the war.
Okay.
Because all issues, all jobs, all health care, all infrastructure of this country is tied to the war. And the reason for that is how much it costs. It has completely robbed our entire generation of our future in this country and our kids' generation. And now with this last speech and policy that is so Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
It completely robs us of just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
There really is no hope of health care. There's no hope of infrastructure and a brand new building down the block, you know, that may house some manufacturing. There's just no hope. Where's the money coming from?
Mm-hmm.
They're about to put in $200 to $300 billion more into the Pentagon. The Pentagon already takes 1/3 of our entire tax levy in this country.
Mm-hmm.
1/3.
I thought it was even higher than that.
Well, you know, believe it or not, it's pretty hard, even for me, to decipher exactly what
yeah.
the numbers are.
Yeah, yeah.
You try figuring it out.
I can't.
Yeah. And I want to do this very quickly. I don't know if you know the book. I'm sure you do. Stanley Karnow, Vietnam, the history, complete history of Vietnam.
No, I don't know it, Steve.
Well, this is actually the best book ever written on the subject.
Okay.
I'm going to quote this. Now that I said the name of it, actually kind of blows away what I was going to do. But this is what the majority leader said back in 1964, and think about today.
Okay.
The Senate majority leader clearly saw the danger ahead and its causes. The United States had spent billions in 7 years, yet substantially the same difficulties remain. And if indeed they had not been compounded, the fault lay not only in the Vietnam threat, the Viet Cong threat, but also in the shortcomings of U.S. policy and with the Diem regime for its failure to share political power.
Mm-hmm.
The senator recommended a careful reassessment of American interests in Southeast Asia to avoid deeper U.S. involvement. Where's the responsibility? It rests with the people of South Vietnam. It is their country, their future. That is what is at stake, not ours. To ignore that reality will not only be immensely costly in terms of American lives and resources, but it may also draw us inexorably into a variation of the same unenviable position in Vietnam that was formerly occupied by the French.
Mm.
Now, if you can substitute all this stuff, whether it's the French or the Russians,
mm-hmm.
or the Viet Cong and the Taliban,
mm-hmm.
you can substitute it. It is exactly. When I heard that speech in Norway or Sweden, wherever he was, it was Nixon in my mind. It was Johnson in my mind. It was Bush, Reagan, it was every single warmongering bastard I have lived under my entire life.
I hear you.
That is the speech I heard, and it was
yeah.
during that speech that I gave up. I give up on the Democratic Party, and like I've said before on your show, I was born a Democrat, and I thought I would die a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
After that speech, and living through that first thing in my life, watching my generation die, I cannot watch this generation die under this guy. I can't.
Well, Steve, listen, man, I hear you as clearly as if we were identical twins. I'm right there with you. I get it. I'm not going to give up hope, but I'm going to give up any kind of hope that either of these two parties would do anything to make this country viable again. Steve, here come the commercials. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good weekend. We'll be right back. Before the hour, thanks to our crew, Military Affairs, Sharon Gordy, Economic Affairs, Bruce Enberg, Education Affairs, Kate Petrini, Ethics Advisors, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and the program's engineer and executive producer is Kathy Bay. I'll try to squeeze in another call or two, but I want to share this with you. You all know who Jonathan Turley is, distinguished law professor at George Washington University, I believe. You've seen him on television a lot, at least I have. He has a blog, jonathanturley.org, and he writes yesterday about an event in Brooklyn. You may or may not know, in Brooklyn there's a heavy Orthodox Jewish community, the Hasidim, the Hasidic Jews. And this is what Turley writes. There's an interesting controversy in Brooklyn after the city of New York yielded to the Hasidic community in sandblasting off bike lanes on streets in Brooklyn. The Hasidim, these Jewish folks went out and got rid of the bike lanes. Why? Well, Hasidic leaders complained that they're having trouble obeying their religious law forbidding them from staring at members of the opposite sex when you have women biking around in shorts. Now, let me digress from Turley's blog here. If you think it's only Christian fundamentalists and Muslim fundamentalists who are crazy, so are the Jewish fundamentalists. So are the Hindu fundamentalists. They're all mad. They're insane with their religious hog snot. Back to Turley. The Hasidic community has long viewed this enclave where they live in Brooklyn as their special area, even though other families and artists have moved in recently. That has caused trouble with something called the Shomrim Patrol. That's a Hasidic neighborhood watch group, kind of like any neighborhood watch group. The Shomrim recently apprehended two bicycling advocates who were repainting the lane that they, the Hasidim, had destroyed, and they called the police. No charges were filed, but the bikers were prevented from repainting the lane. Turley says, I find it incredible that the city would yield to such demands by a religious group to erase bike lanes. The Department of Transportation for the city spokesman said, quote, we will continue to work with any community on ways we can make changes to our streets without compromising safety, end quote. However, Turley writes, this is a religious-based objection to women who are not covered. Yet reports indicate that Mayor Bloomberg wanted to appease the Hasidic community before his recently closed election. Now, obviously, this happened a couple of months ago. Hasidic leaders say that the cyclists endanger families and children. However, this is not the view of the city in creating these lanes, and they're found in every major city. The real objection appears to be their lifestyle and the rigid religious beliefs of this sect. It is clearly improper to make a decision that uses city resources to enforce values of a single religious group. my God. Oh, close the bike lanes. Why? Because the way they dress. Don't look. I have to look. Why do you have to look? Because I see all that leg. But don't look. God gave me eyes. But don't look. Better idea. Erase the bike lanes. OMFG. I just, it never stops, does it? So don't think for a moment, Truth Seeker, that only Christian fundamentalists are absolutely obscenely insane. Here's an example of the Hasidim who are absolutely obscenely insane. John is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on XM. Hey, John.
Another liberal suffering in western Michigan, the belly of the Republican beast here, Mike. Here I am again.
Yeah, it is. You really...
Isn't it a trip, though? Erase those bike lanes so they won't look at women, and then they'll go craft a diamond necklace to sit on the cleavage of some Republican broad, you know? Give me a break. Anyways, a couple of points real quick. The expose on Obama's economic team by our buddy over at the Rolling Stone I found very disconcerting.
Yeah.
With Rubin and the whole inside baseball thing there is just real, real vulgar. But another thing I wanted to pass on, or at least touch base, this Blackwater thing, because it's kind of regionally connected here with our buddy Eric Prince, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Why am I to, I'm sure there has been supportive special forces to help CIA operation, but whenever does a spy need security? I mean, if they're out doing covert operations, who do they need security from if they're sneaking around? You know, that's when they're saying they were just used as security. And plus, there's that movie with Al Pacino where he trains the kid to be in the CIA, and he said, we're just going to teach you how to lie. So anything they say is unbelievable. Am I wrong in that statement?
Well, no. I think you're absolutely right. Wait. I lost you there, John.
All right. I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I find the whole thing, you know, and then there was the article saying that, you know, Eric Prince came out with his thing with his a buddy the other day from Vanity Fair, just doing nothing more than setting up a defense for himself in the news.
Right. Well, you know that
future retribution that may come his way.
That's true. That article in Vanity Fair, I hope we can give it some attention next week. John, we're flat out of time. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Stick around if you're listening online. Bob Kincaid, Head on Radio, comes up. If you're listening online, comes up next. Rebroadcast of tonight's program. I'll see you Monday. All right. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Wait a minute. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. So